Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Life Flight by Lynette Eason. EMS helicopter pilot Penny Carlton is used to high-stress situations, but being forced to land on a mountain in a raging storm with a critical patient tests her skills and her nerve to the limit. On top of it all, she learns that a killer is on the loose and is in the same vicinity as the crash. When FBI Special Agent Holt Satterfield learns that a serial killer has escaped, he finds himself on a manhunt in the middle of a rare November thunderstorm. Penny and Holt must join together as their investigations spiral into different directions and scenarios. It will take everything they have to survive and catch the serial killer before he catches one of them.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today, I have with me Lynette Eason and Susan May Warren. They're returning guests, and you can find out more about them and how to connect with them with the notes for this podcast. So welcome back to my show, ladies.
Oh, thank you. We're so happy to be back.
So we're going to talk a little bit about your current books, because I'm always fascinated with kind of the stories behind why you wrote it. So let's start with Lynette. Life Flight. Tell us a little bit about it and why this story.
Okay, so Life Flight is book one in the new series, the Extreme Measure series. And I was really fascinated with a medical helicopter pilot. And I actually had, in the process of writing this story, I found out I actually have a cousin who does this. Obviously, I have not talked to this cousin in a really long while. He's actually my cousin's husband. And anyway, so I posted something on Facebook about, hey, I need some feedback. I'm doing some research about what it's like to be on a medical helicopter. And my cousin said, that's what my husband does. I was like, no. So I got a lot of information from him. So the story actually just came about because of an interest in helicopter pilots and medical and that kind of thing, who's on them, what they do, that kind of thing. And of course, I had to throw in a few dead bodies and suspense and things like that and a serial killer. So to make it all really interesting, I hope. So that's why. Yeah, there you go.
Great. Okay, Susan, tell us a little bit about Sunrise and how you came to write that story.
Right. So Sunrise takes place in Alaska. And ironically, I have a pilot in my story too, because, great brains think alike. And so, but my story is about the three brothers who are all in different branches of the military, and they end up coming home to their father or their ranch in Alaska. But it's a ranch, but it's actually a bush pilot. It's called an FBO, fixed base operation. And their family are bush pilots. And so they have various adventures out in the wilderness. And the story came actually from a different series that I did. So I did a series about smoke jumpers, and they were in Alaska. And one of the last three books were all set in Alaska, and they based out of this particular ranch. And at the time, the boys were all in the military, and the daughter, Lark, was there. And so she's since moved on, but now people kept writing to me and saying, when are we going to hear about these boys? And so I said, oh, okay, the Kingston brothers are coming home. What's going on? So it's a trilogy. So the first one comes home because his father, and we find this out in the first chapter, has crashed his plane and we don't know why. So he comes home to deal with that. And then finds a problem, of course, that then bleeds across all three stories. It ends up being kind of an international issue. And each brother has their own wounding from the past and the war and things like that. As they kind of come home with their wounds and being at home, meeting the right girl, getting involved in this family event sort of ends up healing them. And so it's a really fun story if you like families, if you like, sort of healed situations, if you like Alaska, and a lot of it is, it's very high action, kind of like Lynette's book. It's just never stops. And yet it's, and I'm, by the way, I have Lynette's book is my read for this weekend. So I cannot wait to read it. I love Lynette's writing. So, so it's just a very, it's Alaska, it's bush, it's flying, it's the wilderness, it's the people up there, a small little town that we have. And then the other two books actually go elsewhere, but also come back to Alaska. So it's kind of got that family feel too.
So have you been to Alaska?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yep. My son Peter was born in Alaska. So we love Alaska. It's gorgeous. I don't want to ever live there long term because they think it would. I already live in Minnesota and we had to escape to Florida in the winter because of the cold and the darkness. So I, you know, Alaska would even be more brutal. But I give kudos to everyone who lives in Alaska. But it's so gorgeous up there. Like, how do you not love Alaska? You have to. So it's really a great place to write about and do research about, not necessarily live in.
Right,
but I shouldn't say that because Alaska people love it. So bless them, right?
Yeah. Well, of course, we all love where we live, where we're from, and it's kind of fun. I always like to ask about how you figure out where to base your stories, but obviously, so you lived in Alaska.
Mm-hmm. So for a brief period of time, not very long, just enough. Well, okay, in full disclosure, we lived in Siberia, Russia, because we were there for 10 years and I was pregnant with Peter in Russia and we flew out to Alaska because that was the closest place to have him. So I was in Alaska for about 3 months waiting to have Peter. And then after we had Peter stayed for a little while and then we went back to Russia. So, you know, I didn't really live there. I kind of like parked there for a while. I birthed there.
That's an even better story though. I mean, yeah. Really, I just flew into Alaska to give birth and then I left.
That's right. Yeah.
So Lynette, how do you pick your localities, where you base your stories?
I usually pick places that I know about, that, like, you know, Susie's been to Alaska and everywhere else on the planet. So I love Asheville, North Carolina. I'm really very familiar with that place, Tennessee, and just mostly in the Southeast area, South Carolina, of course. I try to pick locations that I'm familiar with, that I've been to, that I want to go to maybe and do a little research. So yeah, I haven't been to Alaska yet. That's on the bucket list. So that's how I pick my locations. I want to be familiar with them. Mm-hmm. I sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's so important because, you know, you'll get the, one of my books was based in, I live in Northern Virginia, based in this area. And I had a friend who say, I knew exactly what you were talking about. I'm like, yeah, I mean, you have to fudge a little bit, you know, because, you know, sometimes you need a road to go further than it goes or whatever. So, I mean, people realize that, but it was kind of fun to mention like real places if you can, or interesting things like that. Because I mean, I don't want it necessarily a travel log, but you do want people to feel comfortable and feel like your characters are in a real place. And instead of just, you just put them in Disneyland in the middle of nowhere. And you're like, could that really happen there? I don't think it could happen there. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about series, because I'm always fascinated with how you construct series. And Susan, you can go first. You talked a little bit about how you're basing it kind of in the location and your brothers, but how else do you figure out how to tie it together?
Well, I used to do what was called collections, where I just had sort of like a town and then I had numerous people in the town and I just wrote stories about each person in the town, right? But then I ended up having to say, okay, how am I going to push these people through, or I mean, my readers through the books, right? So how are we going to do this so that they want to be, you know, involved in the story from book to book to book, you know? And so then I started thinking, well, I should think more like a TV show, like Doctor Who, right? There's a thread that goes through Doctor Who that pushes us through the story. And so even though every episode has its own sort of story arc, there's also a series arc. So I started doing that years ago with the first series was PJ Sugar. And then I had something called The Noble Legacy that came out that had like an arc. But then every subsequent series after that, I really took the time to think through, okay, how am I going to build this arc over, you know, if it's 3 books, 5 books, 6 books, whatever. And usually I always have a story, but I also have something else that's going on that will push readers into the next book. And I will also use characters. So I'll, you know, have a subplot, and those subplot characters will often appear in the next book. So sort of whet the appetites for the readers in this book for these other characters. And then they keep going. And sometimes I'll, you know, like say book three or four, I'll pull the first characters out and I'll put them, you know, in book four as a subplot so that people can, you know, see them again. Right. And so, and I'm constantly doing that. I'm also doing that across different series. So like I'll have this series, like the Montana Smoke Jumper series. I had characters from this book that appeared in other books. And I always do that. I'll throw, you know, I'll take a character from another series and I'll throw it into a book so that readers go, oh, I remember that person. I love it. And then new readers go, ooh, who is that? And they might go back and read that series. So, you know, I'm always very strategic about who are the players, who's the cast of that book, and how am I going to use them to move them around the series and then push to another book.
So your overarching series, storyline, your overarching arc, that's a way to say it, you know, is that kind of like a bigger mystery, a bigger suspense thread, that's kind of what you're getting at?
Right. So in Montana Rescue, which was a series I did with Ravel a couple years ago, there was a missing girl and she had been missing for 2 years. So the prequel was when she went missing. And then as the series started, she had been missing for 2 years, maybe, or 3 years, I can't remember. And throughout the whole, and then the first book reignites the search because something happens as a result of the plot that makes them think, oh, she might still be alive. So then it reignites the search. And throughout the rest of the books, it's, you know, finding, looking for her, what happens if they find her, then what happens, as, you know, where, what happened after that, how did she go missing, et cetera, et cetera. So that's sort of a backbone. So when I plot my books, which I do plot my books, I always have sort of a, what's going on with this plot, but also what is going on with the series plot. And I might just have a, you know, a little few things in there, but I always end with something, you know, kind of a new problem, you know, kind of like a soap opera, new problem. And so that we can end with, you know, the main story is concluded, but now, ooh, we got this clue. And then readers want to go to the next book to see what's going on with that. So yeah, I plot both of them.
Yeah, great. Okay, Lynette, your turn. How do you do your series to keep the readers buying that next book?
Well, I could almost go ditto to what Susie said. unlike Susie, though, I do not have like an overarching thread that goes through all of the books. Usually, I tend to wrap everything up. What I do that's very similar is I make sure that I have the series planned out, that I have other characters that I can pull from the stories to create novellas with or write other stories about. And especially when I get messages, emails, Facebook messages, whatever, from readers who say, well, what about this character? Well, that tells me that, oh, this character made an impression. They want to know more. Boom, I have another story to create. So in creating the series, what connects my series mostly is my series are four books. And I have like four friends who grew up together. They went to high school together, whatever. In this current series, in Extreme Measures, the four friends met in juvie as teenagers in California. And they all wanted to start a new life. And so they all come over to the East Coast, which is because that's where I'm familiar with, but they ran from the West Coast for a reason. And so when they get over here, they've been here, they're still friends. They're, you know, they're in different occupations and that are usually in law enforcement, so, you know, search and rescue, something. And so that's how I connect that series. It's usually four people. You know, in the Blue Justice series, it was the family. And I told the story of four of six siblings in the longer books. And then the other two siblings got novellas. And so, yeah, that's how I do it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. It's always fascinating to me just to hear, you know, to see, and I think for our listeners as well, kind of the behind the scenes. How does it work? Because it looks so effortless when you have the finished product. when you have, I know it's not effortless, but it looks that way when you see the theories out there. You're like, well, that must have been easy. And I know it's not, because you have to figure all these things in and try to do this. So have either of you ever started with an idea or plotted out the series and realized that you had the wrong hero or heroine and had to change it in book 3 or 4? Probably not.
Well, no. I've because my series are so highly plotted, I have gotten into the series and like in the third book and decided, oh, I don't like this. It's too predictable. I'm going to throw in this twist. And so then I've, you know, that the series plot has changed and I've gone a different direction, you know, with who the bad guy is. So I have done something like that. Or I've gone in and I've said, okay, maybe this character isn't exactly who I thought he was when I first crafted him, when he first made his appearance in the first book, but maybe not a POV, but maybe just a walk on. And then I was like, let's change him up, add a little bit more. And I think that's kind of the neat thing about what Lynette does. She can kind of be a little bit more organic about, oh, how am I going to make this series go? Because she can be like, oh, this is what happened in the last book. We didn't realize that was going to happen. I'm going to do this cool thing. And I'm going to pull in this character that the readers really like. And so she has a little bit more freedom maybe to do some of that. And I kind of, that's a great thing. Because then you can be a little bit more creative. Whereas with me, I have to like, what I put in the first book is what's in the first book. And so then I have to sort of obey the rules, you know, that I've set up. And if I haven't left myself enough leeway to change something, then I kind of have to stay the course. And so I've tried in my subsequent series to just be a little bit more vague about what's going on in the first book. So I have more room to do fun stuff in the later parts. And so, yeah, but for me, it helps because then I need to put in all these little tidbits of things in the first book that we're going to reveal in book 4 or 5, and I have to know what they are. So, you know, I have to plot it a little bit more. So, but yeah, I kind of like Lynette's method a lot.
Well, I keep wishing I write more like Susie. It's so funny how we're all created, you know, mm-hmm. differently, and we are all wired differently, and what works mm-hmm. for one person doesn't work for another. And mm-hmm. And you know, and but like you said, some of it looks like it's so effortless, and you look at that person the way they do it and you think it would just be so much easier if I could do it her way, you know. And, you know, even though yeah. mentally you know that it's not true, but yeah. it just looks that way. So yeah. But like Susie said, I tend to be more vague about some of my secondary characters, and because I don't want to be locked into mm-hmm. that. I mean, that's not always the case. There are some things, like if I know a particular character, for example, Raina, the character in book 1 of Life Flight. Her story is book 4, and I know what her background is. I know exactly where I'm going to take her character in book 4 for the most part. So in book 1, I set it up to make the reader kind of wonder, what's going on with her? Why is she so like she is? And so because I set it up that way in book 1, by the time I get to book 4, it's going to make sense. If the readers go back and they read them all in order, you know, a lot of readers, they don't read the books as they come out. They wait till they get the whole set and start reading. And so those are the readers I have to really think about, because they're not going to forget what was in book 1 by the time they get book 4. And they're going to wait, this doesn't match this. No. And so I have to think about that too. And, but anyway, I don't know. I would say the way that, that we both write is, or plot or plan is very different, but the end result, it yeah. works.
yeah, absolutely. And I've actually plotted with Lynette before. We've had a lot of fun plotting together. I've learned a lot. I learned a lot when I plotted with Lynette, which was really great. I like grabbed
it off her. Which is funny to say that, because I learned from you.
So there you go. But it was really good. And yeah, you really, like she said, it's, the key is knowing your characters even before you get in. So like every once in a while, I'll write a character and I don't know who he is. And if I have not done the research, I can't put the right things in. And then whatever I put in, I'm kind of locked into. And so if I haven't done the research to know who he is before I write him, then I'm kind of stuck. So so even though Lynette doesn't plot every book, she knows her character so well that she knows exactly the kind of story that they have to write. And so it's a kind of a different kind of plotting, but still very much planning.
So the one follow-up question, and then I think we'll probably be out of time. So do you write, when you write in a series, do you write like all the books like at once? You have a continuity. Do you write one and then have a break before you write the other one? What's your process like when you're looking at 3-4 books in a series?
So you want me to go first?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
All right. So my process is I sort of know what the stories are, and I'm doing a lot of other things. And so I do try to write my books as close to back to back as I can, so that I'm just stay in that place of creativity and I know exactly what's going on and I can write quite quickly. And so I do like to put them out, you know, quite quickly. And, you know, and then if I am writing ahead, you know, long time before they're published, I can actually go back and fix stuff if I need to. So I do tend to write, you know, like I, right now I'm writing a trilogy, and I, you know, I'll write all 3 books back to back long before I turn in the first book. And that will help me see the whole thing. So, but I am doing little things in between there, you know, editing or other little projects that I have. I don't normally go and write a different book though, because to me, I get out of the brain and the scene and the setting and the story, and I don't like to do that. So I'm kind of more of the hunker down, write it all, and then go back and fix it.
All right, Lynette.
I would like to do it that way, but I do write the books back to back as far as, okay, I write book one, I turn it into the publisher, I write book two, I turn it into the publisher, and you know, you get edits and marketing stuff and all that, you know, that comes with it. But by the time I get to book four, it's been 2 years since I've, you know, seen book one. And so that's kind of hard and annoying, but it works. And there was something else I was going to say. I forgot what it was. Oh, well. I know what it was. So for a long time, I was writing for 2 publishers, and I was writing for Love Inspired and Revel. And I would have deadlines all jumbled in together for, you know, and I would have to jump back and forth between the 2 books. And I have come to discover in the past year, 2 years or so that I was doing that, I don't like that. I like to be in my world, and I like to finish the story before I move on to the next project. And up until that point, it never really bothered me. I don't know, maybe it's an age thing. My brain's just atrophy or something. I don't know. But yeah, it got harder, and it's gotten harder to do that. It takes me longer to get back into the story world once I pull myself out. So like I'd be doing edits on a Love Inspired book, and then I'd have to jump back into my Revel story. And I write pretty differently in the way that I write for each of those publishers. And so now I'm not doing any more Love Inspired. I turned in my last one, and now it's like, oh, okay, I can just focus on one thing. So that's really nice.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So we are out of time, but thank you so much for sharing today. I'm so glad you guys could both come back on.
Oh, thank you for having us. It's been fun.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. It's really fun. And it's always fun to hang out with Lynette too. So thanks for having both of us at the same time. Yes.
I signed up for this slot because I saw it's you.
I like it.
Oh, this is great. You have been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I've been talking with Lynette Eason and Susan May Warren, and you can find out more about them and their latest books in the notes for this podcast.
Sunrise by Susan May Warren. Dodge Kingston was the heir to Sky King Ranch, a bush pilot service based near Denali National Park. But after a terrible family fight, Dodge left Alaska. Now, a decade later, he returns home to the destiny that is waiting for him. However, he doesn't count on meeting up again with Echo, his childhood best friend and former flame. Echo is a true Alaskan, a homesteader, dog sledder, and a research guide for the DNR, but her free spirit can lead her into danger. When one of her research assistants goes missing, she heads into the wilderness to find her. But what she encounters is much more than the fierce elements. When Echo goes missing, Dodge can't ignore the twist of worry in his gut, and he is right. Echo is in trouble and on the run. Will Dodge be able to find her in time? And if he does, is there still room for him in her heart?
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.